I'd like this morning to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Book of Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read verses 9 through verse 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through verse 14. And he, that is Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, that is the publican, went down to his house justified, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These verses, of course, record the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. It is one of the best known of Christ's parables. But like most of Christ's parables, it is often misunderstood, misapplied. On the surface, it is a parable about two men and the prayers that they prayed, which leads many to think that the main subject of the prayer, of the parable, is prayer. And certainly, the parable does contain some valuable lessons concerning prayer, concerning the proper spirit in prayer. And though the parable contains two prayers, I do not believe that that is the main subject of the parable. But actually, it is a parable about salvation. The key word, and perhaps the clue to the meaning of the parable, is in verse 14. That word, justified. In this parable, one man was justified before God, and one wasn't. So that seems to me to be one of the main subjects of the prayer. And though the key and the clue to understanding the parable is in the word justified, the heart of the teaching is in the tax collector's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the prayer of the publican. That was the prayer of the tax collector there in verse 13. But go to verse 13, and I want you to notice, again, the prayer of the publican is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now notice the beginning and the end of that prayer. Notice the first word of that prayer and the last word of that prayer. God and sinner. And I believe those are the two main subjects, the two main characters in this parable. God and the sinner. But notice also the last three words. Notice the first word and then the last three words. God is the first word. And the last three words is, me, a sinner. That is the two subjects of this parable. God on the one hand, and me, the sinner, on the other hand. This parable, again, we've already seen that word justified. We have God on one hand, we have the sinner on the other. So this parable answers the question that Job asked in Job 9 and verse 2, which is, how should man be just with God? This parable answers that question. Bildad asked in Job 25 and verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? That has always been the question of mankind. How can man be justified with God? Now, in order to rightly understand and interpret any of the parables of Christ, it is necessary to know the occasion of the parable, the purpose of the parable, to whom the parable is spoken. And in most of Christ's parables, not all, but most, those questions are answered in the first verse or preceding the parable itself. And it's no different here. In verse 9, we read, and he spake this parable unto certain. So we're about to be told who he spoke it to. Unto individuals who trusted in themselves. About what? About being justified before God. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And this leads to the next, and despised others. So we know to whom the parable was spoken. Those who thought themselves to be righteous. Righteous enough to be justified with God. Now we go back to verse 13, the beginning and the end of the publican's prayer. God, sinner. And we want to take the main thought of the message from those two words. Because in reality, the two main characters of this parable are not the Pharisee and the publican. The two main characters are God and the sinner. The sinner is represented by two characters, the Pharisee and the publican. But the two main characters are God and the sinner. Again, on one side we have God, and in the other we have the sinner. And the question that all should be interested in finding the answer to is, how can these two, God and the sinner, how can they be brought together? That ought to interest every sinner, that question. How can these two be brought together? So it is a parable about God. A parable about God and two great sinners. And the question of how can God and the sinner be brought together, I believe, is answered in this parable. So we're going to look, first of all, at the two main characters. The first one, and again, we take this from the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The first is God. There is God. In relation, we want to look at God in relation to the sinner, because those are the first and last words of this prayer. In relation to the sinner, there are some important facts about God that every sinner needs to know. And these are facts that most sinners do not know, and these are facts that most sinners choose not to know, and these are facts that most sinners wish were not so. So we want to look at God just very briefly in relation to the sinner. First of all, God is holy. That simply means he is perfect. God is perfect. God is undefiled. By that we mean that he is free from all evil. He is without spot. He is without blemish. He is free from all sin. He is free from all impurities. God is holy. He is not only holy, He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly pure. He is perfectly sinless. He is perfectly righteous in Himself. He does not get His righteousness. He does not derive His righteousness from anyone else. He is righteous. And He is the source of all righteousness. He is all holy. He is only holy. Everything about God is holy. He is altogether holy. And He is always holy. Because God is holy, God abhors sin. And may I remind you, that is what the sinner does. He or she sins. God, because He is holy, abhors sin. He abhors it universally. Wherever it is found, God hates it. He hates sin perpetually. And you and I cannot even begin to imagine the intensity of His hatred toward sin. We live in a time when everyone wants us to be accepting of sin. But every sinner needs to know that God is holy and He hates it. And He hates it intensely. Another thing we need to know about God in relation to the sinner is God is just. God is just. It is God's laws, and God is the one who determines His laws. It is God's laws that determines what is right and what is wrong. Nothing else. It's God's laws. And God always acts in accordance to His law. He does not act in accordance to how you think He should act. He acts in accordance to His laws. And His laws are perfect. His laws are holy. And God never denies. God never contradicts His law. He is just. Because God is holy, because God is just, that makes it impossible for God to let sin go unpunished. For God to let sin go unpunished, for God to ignore sin would make Him unjust. Just like a judge. He does not follow the law. He is an unjust judge. God is just. And God's word says, if you sin, you must die. God is just. Sin will not go unpunished. If you think for one moment that God is going to make an exception with you, that God is going to make an exception with your loved one, you're sadly mistaken. Because God is not unjust. God is just. And every sinner needs to know that. Thirdly, and lastly, concern not the message, but concerning God and sinner, God possesses anger and wrath. The Bible presents God. It is a God who possesses anger. It is a holy anger. It is a pure anger. And it is a justified anger. We read in Psalm 7 and verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day, God is angry with the wicked. Now, God's wrath is the display of His anger. And he's going to display his anger. You know, people today, they want to talk about global warming. I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a global warming one day. It's going to be God pouring his wrath down. And you don't want any part of it. So in regard to the sinner, God is holy. God is just. And God is angry with the wicked every day. That brings us to our second character in the parable, and that is the sinner. Who is the sinner? Well, a sinner is someone who has sinned. That's who a sinner is. So what is it to sin? Well, according to 1 John 3 and verse 4, any transgression of the law of God is a sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, whosoever. Whosoever, that means exactly what it says. Committeth sin, here's what he does. He transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That is the holy law of God. But I want to say, whatever transgresses God's law, in whole or in part, no matter what the degree of the transgression is, it is sin. It is sin. And God is just. And that sin must be punished. Whatever violates the law of God is sin. And every sin is a violation of God's law. Doesn't matter whether or not you think it's sinful. Every sin is a violation of the law of God. Sin is any deviation from God's law. Sin is going astray from what God has prescribed in His law. So sin consists of doing, saying, thinking, or imagining anything contrary to the law of God. You do that, you've sinned. And that's what sinners do, is they sin. And the Bible says in 2 Kings 8 verse 46, there is no man that sinneth not. There's no exceptions here. There is no man that sinneth not. In other words, there is no man that is not a sinner. We're all sinners. We read in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Notice in Romans chapter 3, very familiar passage, we want to read it. Romans chapter 3, we'll read verses 10 through verse 12. As it is written, there is none righteous. And then to emphasize that, he says, no, not one. There's no exceptions. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They, that is these, there is none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we read in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All without exception are born in sin. The psalmist declared in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It's true of everyone sitting here today. We were conceived in sin. Notice that didn't say we were born in sin. It says we were conceived in sin. I want to say the infant in the womb is a sinner. They are conceived in sin. The infant in the womb is a sinner. Psalm 58 in verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Now we're talking about birth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. They don't have to wait till they go to school. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Even before they can speak, they speak lies. A sinner, we're all sinners. A sinner is one who is guilty. They have transgressed the law of God. They're guilty. And we read in James 2 and verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Guilty of the whole law because it's a unit. So what does it mean to be guilty? Well, that means that you are indebted. It means that you're under judgment. And that's what we read in John chapter 3. All are under condemnation. They're under judgment. The sinner is under the condemnation of God. A sinner is ungodly. That simply means that he's ungodlike. When you break the law of God, God is pure, God is holy. When you break the law of God, you're ungodlike, you're ungodly. Sinners are ungodly. To break the law of God is to rebel. And it is to rebel not just against the law, it's to rebel against the author of the law, God. A sinner is a rebel against God. He is an enemy of God. And sin is an act of enmity toward God. So on the one hand, we have God. He's holy. He's just. And a holy and just God demands holiness. He demands perfect righteousness. On the other hand is the sinner. The sinner has violated the law of God. The sinner has deviated from the law of God. The sinner has rebelled against God. The sinner is guilty before God. And the sinner is under and deserving of the condemnation of God. The sinner cannot please God in and of themselves. And they are in desperate need of a perfect righteousness. Because you see, God being holy, that's all he can accept. Your righteousness will never be good enough. If you think it is, I want to ask you how good you have to be. And that leaves you setting the standard. And let me tell you, you don't set the standard. God does. He demands perfect righteousness. And he demands, the demands of God's law must be satisfied on the sinner's behalf. The demands of the law are simple. Justice. That's the demands of the law. And those demands must be satisfied, and the sinner can't satisfy them. The sinner needs forgiveness. The sinner needs acceptance by God. But God can only accept perfection. The sinner needs deliverance. So you have God and you have the sinner. How are the two to ever be reconciled? How can the sinner find acceptance with God? How can the sinner be justified before God? Is there any hope for the sinner, before a holy and just God. I believe the answer to all of those questions is in the parable. It's right here in this parable. And that leads us to our second point, which is we want to look at the sinner betrayed by the Pharisee and by the publican. This parable describes everyone here. Everyone here is described in this parable. In the parable, Jesus tells of a Pharisee and a publican. It is the Lord's story about two great sinners. And these two great sinners both went up to the temple to pray. That's what the parable tells us. They both went to the temple to pray. They are both guilty before God, as all sinners are. They are both vile. One is no more vile than the other in this parable. They're both vile. They're both filthy. Both guilty. Both are wretched. And both are wicked sinners before God. These two sinners, the Pharisee and the publican, describe everyone here. Everyone here identifies with one or the other, the Pharisee and the publican. No doubt both are represented in these services today. There are some who sit here like the Pharisee, and you think that somehow, some way, God will accept you on your merit. You are a Pharisee. There are others who are like this publican. So we want to look at these two individuals. Everyone here by nature is a sinner. We are born sinners. We're born just like this Pharisee. You see, the Pharisee did not really know that he was a sinner before God. You can ask people, do you know that you're a sinner? And almost everybody will say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. But they really don't. They really don't. Because if they did, they'd do what the publican did. They really don't. Admitting you're a sinner and knowing you're a sinner are two entirely different things. And this Pharisee did not know that he was a sinner before God. Like many today, they don't know what that means. Do you know what it means to be a sinner before God? Do you know what that means? The Pharisee didn't. The Pharisee did not realize, he did not know that he was a sinner in the sight of God. You see, the Pharisee was wrapped up in his own importance. Thought he was somebody. Thought he had something to offer. The Pharisee was wrapped up in his own self-righteousness. He was proud. He boasted of his deeds. In his prayer, as you read the parable, he was letting God know about the good things he had done. I've heard Pharisees pray. That's what they do. They let God know what they're doing. They're Pharisees. God already knows what you're doing. And may I say, he knows it better than you do. But this Pharisee, when he prayed about the good things he had done. As you read the parable, you see that he boasted of his morality. I'm glad that there are moral people in the world, but morality will not save your soul. I would rather my neighbor be moral than immoral, but morality will not save his soul. I would rather be around moral people than immoral people, but morality will not save your soul. This man boasted about his morality. He said, I'm no adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. He also boasted of his business honesty. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I do not cheat. He boasted of his spiritual life. He said, I fast twice in the week and pay tithes of all that I possess. And he measured himself against others. He said, I'm thankful that I'm not like this publican. You see, he measured himself against others, and he always thought himself to be better. And how many times have you heard the sinner say that? Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so. Oh, but don't you see, you are. They're guilty sinners, and so are you. So, this Pharisee prayed. And as he did, he put himself on a pedestal. And the more he prayed, the more it was manifest that this man was trusting in himself. There's two kinds of people here today. We're all sinners, but there's two kinds. You're either trusting in yourself or you're trusting in God. It's one or the other. It's true of all sinners today. By nature, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. So did this Pharisee. As you read the Pharisee's prayer, or so-called prayer, there was absolutely no sense of personal sin. None. Nowhere to be found. Read it over and over again. You will not find it anywhere. There was no sense of personal need because of sin. And there was absolutely no acknowledgement of guilt. That brings us to the publican. The publicans, of course, were Jewish tax collectors for the Roman government. They were traitors. They had betrayed their own nation. They were very hated. This particular publican went up into the temple to pray. I don't believe that was his practice, because he would not have been accepted in the temple. He was hated. But I believe he went up to the temple to pray this day because God was already doing a work on his heart. And it didn't matter to him whether he was accepted in that temple or not. But this publican went up to the temple to pray. And the publican, like the Pharisee, was a sinner. I believe as a result of the Spirit of God working upon his heart, he began to realize, I'm a sinner. He began to realize it. He began to realize that he was a sinner before God. He was a sinner in the sight of God. And as a result of this, he was very, very heavy-hearted. I believe the Pharisee went in the temple very lighthearted. I believe the publican went in very heavy-hearted, because he was beginning to realize that he was a sinner before God. I believe this man was beginning to feel the weight of his sin. He was beginning to feel his enormous need. And we read in verse 13 that as he got to the temple, he stood afar off. I believe that means that he probably found himself a secluded corner. And so filled with guilt and shame, he fixed his eyes upon the ground. It says there that he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He was broken. He was dejected in his heart. So much so that he could not look up. He felt so vile. He didn't always feel this way. The Lord's working on his heart. And he feels so vile. He feels so guilty. He feels so filthy. He cannot look up. He's so overwhelmed. He doesn't go to anybody else in that temple. He goes directly to God. And unable to look up, we read that he smote his breast and he cried out, God, be merciful. Amen. To me, the sinner. Again, notice those last three words. Me, a sinner. Do you remember that day when that became a reality in your life? Me, a sinner. You weren't laughing that day. You weren't smiling. You weren't cracking jokes. You were weighted down with sin. It was the most miserable day of your life. Me, a sinner, before God and in the sight of God. This is the condition of this publican. He smote himself in the breast because I believe he knew that's where his problem was. He had a heart problem. He had a sinful heart. He's conscious of his own sinfulness. And he cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. May I say, no one had to tell him what to say. And any sinner that God, the Spirit of God, is working upon, you don't have to tell them what to say. Don't you dare do that. You don't have to prod them. I don't care if they're illiterate and how ignorant they might be. When God's working on their heart, they will know to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You don't have to have them repeat a prayer. That's not real. And I want you to know today, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to make you mad. But if that's all you've got, you don't have anything today. If that's all you've got is mommy and daddy sitting next to you and leading you in a prayer, I'm sorry, you don't have it. There has to be a day when in your life you realize, me, a sinner. And you cried out to God. God, be merciful. Me, a sinner. No one had to prod him. He felt that he was a sinner. He felt there was no sinner like him. Certainly no one was as bad as he. And that's how every lost sinner feels when God the Spirit working upon him. The Pharisees think, thank God I'm not as bad as he. But the publican, God's working on his heart, feels the weight of his sin. This parable describes how everyone here thinks they will be justified before God. The Pharisee believed in himself. He believed that he had some merit. He believed that somehow he could earn acceptance with God. He believed he was good enough. On the other hand, publican despised himself. He hated himself. Don't you preach self-esteem to a sinner who's being convicted by God. That's sad. God, the Holy Spirit, has a hold of somebody and you come along and say, well, you're not quite that bad. Don't tell them that. That's a lie. There's no self-esteem here. When God, the Holy Spirit, is working. He knew that he had no merit. He knew that he had nothing to offer God. He knew that he could never earn acceptance with God. He confessed that he was guilty. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not only that, he confessed that he was deserving of God's wrath. He felt he was deserving. That's why he pleaded mercy. Because he knew that he was deserving of the wrath of God. And all he could do was pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Everyone here today is either like this Pharisee, not realizing how sinful, how wicked, how filthy, how vile, and how wretched they are, comparing themselves to what they think others are, and believing that they may not be perfect, but I'm not as bad as some, trusting in themselves, not realizing their great need, and thinking somehow, some way, I'll make it. You won't. You won't make it. There are many burning in hell right now who thought somehow, some way, I'll make it. You don't get saved somehow, some way. There's only one way. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican realized his true condition before God, and simply pleaded for God to be merciful to him. This parable describes the state of every single person here. The publican, without anything to offer God on his behalf, pleaded God's mercy. In God's mercy, he found a way to be accepted. That is Jesus. God will accept nothing but perfection. That is Jesus. In God's mercy, he found forgiveness. He found the cleansing, the acceptance, and the deliverance that he needed. Notice verse 14. I realize we're running out of time. Jesus said, I tell you, this man. Circle those two words. This man went down to his house justified. Glory to God. This man, the publican, the sinner, went home justified that day. This man who was a publican, who was one of the most despised and corrupt classes of men of that day. This man was justified that day. This man, who belonged to one of the most notoriously vile group of people that there were. This man was justified. This man, who was a thief of widows and orphans. This man went down justified before God. This man who was a traitor to his own country. This man who was totally selfish, who lived to enrich himself no matter who he had to trample upon to get there. You see, that's what publicans did. This man, being a publican, had no morality. Had no conscience, and was without feeling. But we read here, this man went down to his house justified. God met this man one day, and God's hand was heavy upon him. And God's hand being heavy upon him, he went to the temple. And he began to see the blackness of his heart, and he began to feel the weight of his sin pressing down upon him.
and began to feel his utter unworthiness. And this man, with nothing to offer unto God, cried out unto God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went home justified that day. God didn't disappoint him. And I'm telling you today, if you get to the condition where you can realize, me, a sinner, I have sinned against God. I am a filthy, vile, wretched sinner in the sight of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You'll go home justified this day. And don't tell me his family didn't notice a difference when he got home. And he went home glorifying God all the way home, however far that was. He had been fully set free, absolutely justified, and he knew it. He praised God all the way home. I ask you today, have you ever experienced what the publican experienced? I believe these two people, the Pharisee and the publican, they're here every Sunday morning. They're here every Sunday night. There are those, you've been sitting there for years, and somehow, some way, you think you're going to make it. You know that you've never experienced what this publican experienced. You know that. Somewhere in your mind, you think, I'll make it. I'm convinced that's why some keep coming. Because they're trying to make it. You're not going to make it, friend. You're not going to make it. Oh, I pray. God, the Holy Spirit, do a work upon the hearts of lost sinners. Cause them to see. I not only saw that I was a sinner, I felt it. And so did you. Cause us to see and feel our sinfulness. You would realize today you have only one hope. Home Baptist Church is not your hope. You won't make it if you're depending on Home Baptist Church. You won't make it if you're depending on mom and dad. You're depending on a repeated prayer that you said. You're not going to make it. But when you come to the realization that you have absolutely nothing to offer unto God, and all you can do is cry out unto God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. That's the only plea that a lost sinner has. You have no other plea. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But I want you to think on those three words. Me, a sinner. We that are saved. Think upon those words. Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. And yet God's grace is so wonderful that he saved me, a sinner. Don't ever get past that. Me, a sinner. You begin to think highly of yourself, go back to those three words. Me, a sinner. And keep your eyes upon God and thank him every day for saving your undeserving soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verses.